know what I'm going to talk about, and I don't want to do that. If you have to give a picture to the Christian lifestyle, in other words, you don't know God, you come to God, what's your life? What's the picture you get? Is it the first picture? What's that? Yeah, holiday. It's not Swakop, you can see that. My wife and I, we're going, and Ember, we're going to Hawaii at the end of the year. Because her work is sponsoring her to go, not up to Hawaii, but America. And then Ember can still go because she's less than 2 years. So we'll never be able to go there that cheaply. So we decided we're going. But Hawaii looks like this, not Swakop. Maybe if we have that sulfur eruption, it looks that blue, but then it's definitely not warm. But that looks like holiday. I don't know if you, but Christian lifestyle is not holiday. Okay, the next one. What's that? Okay, I Googled peace. I didn't want to put up this peace sign, but that's one of the pictures I got, peace. Now, scripture, the next one. Do not think that I've come to bring peace to the earth. I've not come to bring peace, but a sword. Everybody's quiet. Don't show the next one. But spiritually speaking, if we had to get like goggles that we could switch on just to see the spiritual atmosphere, you won't see holiday or peace. You'll see war. Next slide. You'll see that, if you can see that. You'll see war. You'll see fighting in the spirit. Now, see this podium is losing its paint. But I'm not speaking in the sense of, don't go out here now, think your marriage and your life should be full of war. No, God says, I've come to give you life and life in abundance. But So we can expect that to have that peace and freedom. Yeah, that's peace. We can have that peace and tranquility that in our lives, spiritually speaking, in our relationships, that is what God comes to establish. But spiritually, if you had to switch on and see the spiritual atmosphere, it will be war. And we are more, scripture speaks about it, that if we die, this flesh stays behind and the spirit moves on. So we're more spirit than flesh. So we are in a war. Spiritually speaking, we are in a war. And we had this prayer and fasting thing a couple of weekends ago. And then Tani Amanda, I don't know what, Auntie Amanda, no, I can't say that. But Amanda was here to, it's Amanda, ne? To teach everyone on spiritual warfare. I think that's what it was about. My wife could attend. I couldn't because I had to wean Ember. Can you believe that? In the first service, I said, I get Musa spien. Then everybody started laughing because like some bachelors didn't know what spien means. And anyway, I had to take care of Ember so that you can get off the mother's milk and onto solid foods. I expected a bomb to burst and nothing really happened. I don't know. She just slept and she was full of peace and that was great. But that's why I wasn't here. But Heidi told me what she taught, what Amanda taught and the spiritual warfare thing. And I just want to talk about that. And while we were praying during that time, I just sensed, and it was one day at intercession in the morning, that we must realize as Christians that we are in a war. And if you realize that you're in a war, picture yourself being there in France in the Second World War. You can try and deny that you're in a war, but everything around you dictates that you're in a war and your lifestyle changes when you're in a war. It's not like you sit on the beach and you sip on pina coladas or whatever. Your lifestyle changes when you realize you're in a war. But spiritually, we can be asleep sometimes, and we don't realize that we're in a war. But God wants to awaken us to that fact so that our lifestyle changes, adopts as if it is in a war. Now, and we'll get to the fact of what are we fighting here. We'll get to that later on. We're not fighting with each other, and we must be these aggressive people, but we are deceiving ourselves if we think we can be spiritually asleep. Yes, let me put it that way. Amen. Are you still with me, guys? I've come across some people, and they leave Christianity offended, or they're offended with the, you know, you get these new age type beliefs and so on. It's everything goes, and everybody is all right, and what everybody believes is okay, and you can. I was there in Bali. What are they? Hindu? No? Hindu. And I tried to explain to this one lady, yes, we're Christians and we believe in Jesus, with the aim of getting her maybe to start thinking differently. And all she said was, yes, we also know of Jesus, and he's also one of our million, one of the other million, 5 million gods. But Christianity spiritually doesn't work like that. It's not like we accept everything and it's all good and whatever. No, there's a certain way, and Jesus makes that way clear to us, because there's a spiritual war for people's souls. There's a constant battle to get as many people into hell as possible, if I can put it that easily. And we need to, as Christians, wake up. Our sermon finished. But that's what I always do. And Paul also, I mean, look at all the apostles. I'm not here to say, hey, prepare yourself for some vervolging, what is it? Persecution, that's not what I'm saying. But we're in a war. Ephesians 6, verse 11 to 13. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but of divine power to destroy strongholds. Put on the whole armor of God. It does not say put on the whole armor of God once you get saved, or only when you get saved, only when you get baptized, or only when... This basically means to keep the thing on. It means you're in a war constantly, a spiritual war. You know, sometimes one must, well, I'm just using examples here. One must stop complaining about your marriage or your business or your whatever, and you must realize, but hey, the enemy is out here to destroy whatever you have. So close the umbrellas, put on the armor, and fight for some things. And what, like I said, it determines our lifestyle. And as we grow as a church, and this is what, it's not only me, I mean, Yaku's sermon was amazing last week, and what God has been telling him and the church, that we must birth things in the spirit, and God wants to take us to a higher level. And then if a woman is pregnant, then the whole life, you know, you change, you eat differently, but you prepare, you're preparing for something to happen. And in the same way, as we grow as a church spiritually, we can expect the enemies to get bigger and stronger, and we have to be prepared for it. And one of the things in Swakopmund, you can hear it from a lot of people here, I've heard it from a friend of mine who lived here, and he was in sin, and he got saved, he was in Windhoek. And whenever he comes back, he's like, before he comes into Swakopmund, he's like, ah. Because there's a certain atmosphere here that makes people want to sleep spiritually. And there are certain specific attacks, and Tanya Mana was telling me just now, on marriages here in Swakop, we must wake up. We must pray against it. It's time for us as Christians, and as we move, grow with God, that we stop reacting. We reign. We must start reigning. We call the shots. We react to the shots that the devil sometimes calls. I say in every sermon, we are blessed in our country that certain evil stuff is not legalized yet. Abortion and prostitution and all that stuff. I spoke to a guy from the Netherlands, I can't remember, years ago. He's not a Christian, not even closely. But he could at least objectively tell me that, you know, this legalization of prostitution in our country is not working. It's breaking down the moral fiber of our nation. There's nothing left. He was not close to God, but at least he could look at it objectively and say, but this is wrong. Okay. What I'm trying to say is, as a nation, as Namibia or whatever, we react. on things that the enemy already executes. We must, like watchmen, you see him coming. And we can already see those stuff coming. They're talking about this stupid group, if you ask me. Some ladies that say they want to legalize prostitution. And I've got 20 reasons why. Those are the signs that we have to wake up and pray for certain things and stop those demons before the law is signed. Now we're like, what? Okay. I always say, okay, no, I don't know if this makes sense, but if somebody falls into idolatry, in other words, if he falls into idolatry, you know the sin of that guy doesn't start the moment he's in bed with the other woman, if I can put it like that. The sin starts the moment he starts thinking about something else. Adultery, sorry. That's when the sin starts. It's like a journey. The ultimate, it's from driving from here to Windhoek. So the sin is like, now he's sleeping with another lady. But the sin started the moment he was in Arandas. The moment he started thinking about it, that's when the sin started. Not like, oh, I'm in somebody else's bed. No, it's when you were on Arandas, you should have turned around. Your mind should be changed. Stop thinking about it. Purify your mind. Okay, where am I? War. Okay, if we're in war, war requires a certain amount of things. And I just want to highlight three things here. But war requires training. And before I read any of these scriptures, war requires, and I neglect to say it, and I think we neglect it a little bit in our church here, but I'm quite prepared for war. But it's only because I've spent time in God's Word. For me, 3 years of Bible school. Yes, I'm promoting Bible school, yeah? But we can't expect to be spiritually right and ready if we don't spend time in the Word of God and if some people don't train us in the Word of God. So what I want to achieve with this is, not this whole sermon, but we must pray now that God opens the heart of our people that have not done Bible school and other people that they do Bible school next year. We didn't have a good turnout this year, to be quite honest. We must get a good turnout. It's the scheme of the enemy to keep our people away from learning his word, because then they're not trained. So war requires training. And I'm so blessed, and I forget about this, and I must acknowledge it every now and then, but I have some wisdom, on how to react in certain situations. It's just because people spend lots of time teaching me God's word. Hebrews 5, 13 to 14. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he is a child. Let me tell you this. I never understood this scripture because this speaks about, you know, like weaning a child from getting off the breast milk onto solid foods. I never understood this until I had my own child. And actually only until after she was weaned. Because now she didn't sleep well. Okay, there's probably lots of reasons for it. But she didn't sleep well and all that stuff. Now, after we weaned her, we realized that this kid is now sleeping like a clip. She slobs a clip. She's eating. It's necessary. But spiritually, it's necessary for us to grow, to become mature. And there's another scripture in the Word that says we must move from the elementary doctrines like baptism. So baptism is absolutely one of the foundation stones of what we believe. But the Bible says we must move on. In other words, we can't always get stuck on those things with 40 people that we don't believe in baptism and all this. No, we preach what we believe and then we go on. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he's a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. So we should trust God that he brings us to a place where we read like this. The powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. It's like I explained a while ago. You know, it's still the same game. If if it's rugby or whatever, we're still Christians. We still, but it's like you're growing. You've played now large school rugby and a world school rugby, and now you're playing some club rugby, and then you play some Curry Cup rugby, and then you play some Super 15 rugby, and then you play test rugby. It's the same game. It's just you need to be more disciplined when you play test rugby. Like last night, they couldn't even beat the Argentinians. Did you see that? That's good. The Springboks couldn't beat Argentina. Any Argentinians here? Sorry, you're also good, but really we should beat them. Shame. At least I didn't get worked up about it. Somehow I just felt that I'm not going to get very excited tonight about rugby. And that was the truth. Amen. So in a war, we should be trained. The second thing is, in war requires vigilance. What does the CIA do? CIA. Oh, yes, there are some Americans. They're not allowed to tell us, that's why. That's what they might be. It's the, do you know the CIA? There's lots of movies about them. What does the CIA stand for? Central Intelligence Agency, I think. So, I guess what their job is, God knows if we have one in Namibia, but their job, as far as I understand, is they must go and figure out what is Saddam up to. You know, what's his plan? Now Saddam's out of the way, who's next? North Korea. What's the guy? Sung Kyung-yon, something like that. But their job is to, like the watchman, to see what's he up to. What's he planning so that we don't react when the bomb lands, but we stop him before the bomb lands. And spiritually, we should be vigilant in the same way. We should not react. We see stuff coming. We stop them before they are here. That's why you have watchmen. The watchmen, I say this all the time. The watchmen stood on the walls and they could see the enemies. They weren't inside the fort or whatever you call it, and then when the door falls down with the enemy in the door, that's when they start reacting. No, they see stuff. And spiritually, war requires us to be vigilant, to be alert, to see these things in my house, in my marriage. 1 Peter 5 verse 8, be well balanced, temperate, sober of mind, be vigilant and cautious at all times, for the enemy of yours, the devil, roams around like a lion roaring in fierce hunger, seeking someone to seize upon and devour. So third one, war requires, in Afrikaans, I couldn't find the difference between the two words, but in English, vigilance or alertness. Ephesians 6, verse 17 to 19, we should be alert. It's basically the same. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that the words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. We must be alert. Same thing. We must see things coming our way. And I get upset, but you know, the moment you get married, your responsibility triples or doubles, quadruples. I don't know what it does, but it increases. And in life, spiritually walking with God, your responsibility increases. And you need to be alert. You can't, as the husband in the house, just blame everything on your wife or whatever it is. If certain stuff goes wrong, you must take some responsibility and say, oh, I wasn't alert enough. Or you must pray and be in the Spirit. What does this say? Praying at all times in the Spirit so that you can see when things happen. So that you can interfere with the enemy's plans. And more than that, we should not only interfere with the enemy's plans, we should have our own ones and walk in them rather than just like stop the enemy wherever we can, wherever he attacks. We're living wrong. When you're in a war, the best way, they say, of what's it, defense is to attack. Is you know what your strategy is and you go and execute it rather than being the victim all the time. Amen. So, get some training, whatever that means. I mean, just find yourself amongst some Christians that know more than you. Spend time with them. Go to Bible school. I don't know what it is, but get yourself prepared. Be vigilant. See the things and be alert. And something, when we were praying the other day, no, I'm going to get to that later. But if you can make peace with the fact that we're in a war, you must figure out your position in that war, in that army. Where do you fit in? Now, there's so many ways you can be an evangelist, a prophet, a pastor, a teacher. You know, the word speaks of you can be in the cavalry or you can be an archer. You don't have, we all don't have to look the same, but find your spot. Find where you fit in. Find what you're good with. Find what God has called you to be, but be part of the army. I said it in the first service also, and luckily Anki, afterwards she gave, I'm going to share Anki's word with you. But church shouldn't be a one-man show. I mean, some Yaku can't do everything, can't get all the words, can't get all the revelation, and we all come and sit and listen and wait for Yaku. They must be, we want to hear what you say. I need to hear what God tells you. You know why I say that? A lot of my sermons come from listening to Christians. Because God's his sheep hear his voice. And sometimes you just speak with a humble Christian beginner, whatever he is, infant in Christ, and you hear the stuff he speaks and you're like, wow, he speaks to you. But that, now I'm off on another tangent. But church is not a one-man show. An army is not one big, strong he-man dude. It's a group. You fit there. You play the worship. Find where you belong. Find your rank. Where in the rank? Where do you fit in? Does it make sense, people? All right? Because, like I said in the beginning, is you can't pretend that you're not in a war. The only thing that's going to happen, you're going to get taken out because there is a war. So it's better for us to just pray about it and see where do I fit? Where do I fit in? Because you are in a war because there's protection if you slot into the family of God. Okay, but what I actually want to get to is this whole war thing. While we were praying, where was it? Yeah, it was here when we were fasting and praying. Where have you seen the movie Gladiator? Yeah. They must make good movies like that for a change again. Sometimes I walk into the movie shop and I walk out without a movie because I can't find anything that's good enough to watch. But Gladiator, I don't know, it was long ago. There's the scene, and this is when we're praying. This is the scene I saw in my spirit, whatever. Not a spooky vision, just what I saw. They preparing for war right there in the beginning, and the ranks, they're all in their ranks because those Romans were very organized. I think they had the archers at the back. The cavalry was at another place. They attacked from the back. But before they go, the general, Maximus, walks through these troops. But you don't see fear on their faces. They almost have this arrogant smile, this arrogant confidence. And they're arrogant, or they're confident because of the general that's walking through them. And he's saying, it's all right, guys. You know we've done this before. We can do it again. They've got a confidence about them because the general has conquered many of these wars and stuff, and he's walking through them and he says, listen guys, we're prepared, you know, we're prepared, don't worry, chill. And we all know what happens. They storm and they kill all the barbarians and they win again. But when we're praying, it's like I was sensing that God is saying, I'm walking through your ranks. And when God told me that, it's like this confidence. It's not an arrogance, but it's a confidence because of this. Revelations 19 verse 11 to 14. Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. Who's this? Verse 14, and the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. This is a different Jesus to the one that teach you at primary school, the baby in a manger. This is a powerful commander of the army who is in charge. And another translation which says he's the Lord of hosts. Everybody fears him. That's why, you know, there's a scripture that says every knee will bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. My take on that is you'd rather want to bend the knee now than bend it afterwards, but you're going to bend it because he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You want to bend it while you still have the time to submit under him. But if you get faced with him on that day when he comes, he's almighty. He's scary. But on this side of eternity, we can decide that we make him our Father. Joshua 5 verse 13 to 15. When Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing before him with his drawn sword in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? And he said, no, but I am the commander of the army of the Lord. Now I have come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, what does my Lord say to the servant? And the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take off your sandals from your feet, for the place we are standing on is holy. And Joshua did so. And I don't know, I'm excited about that vision that God gave me, because it gives me confidence. It shows me, and as one grows in God, I mean, the demons get bigger. They get scarier. What's happening in the world gets scarier. It's, you know, I was thinking the other day, how am I going to, the things you hear that happens to children nowadays and all that. So I'm already worried on how I'm going to make sure my child grows up and nothing happens to her until she can. So it gets scary. World is bad. But it's a war. But I have Jesus as my commander. And if I submit my life, humble myself so that I can be protected by God, because God can't protect somebody with a haughty spirit, an arrogant spirit. But if I just say, Jesus, I submit, thank you, then the commander steps and he says, hello, let's all chill. We're going to fight, but we're going to win because I'm the commander. Okay, the next slide there. What's up next? I've missed some scriptures here. Skip that one. That one also. Yes. What are we fighting against? We can go back to some of those other scriptures. We're not fighting people. We don't get obsessed about the type of stronghold that Swakopmund has and the type of demon. Why do we fight? If we can get our focus right, what we pursue, then we need detail on how to figure out how to get there. But if we are obsessed with the wrong thing here in the middle and get distracted, then God's not going to use us. Why are we fighting? Why are we in a war? What is this war about? Pure and simple, easy, in easy terms. Proverbs 5:22, the iniquities of the wicked ensnare him, and he is held fast in the cords of his sin. You and I will go to heaven purely because the grace of God took us away from that sin that stands between us and God. Our war is for those entangled, ensnared people. I've seen many times people don't believe in God. You do some outreach or whatever, and you tell them, listen, can I pray for you? And they're like, what's wrong with these Christians? They actually concerned about my needs. They pray for me. They worried. They fast about me. They pray that I must get set free. There's really not a lot of other religions that are concerned about other people. Christianity is one of the only ones where it's like, yes, you have your salvation. You have your breakthroughs. Jesus has saved you. The higher call in your life is there are others that are still where you were. There are others that need to be untangled from the sin in their lives. That is what the war is about. If we can focus on that, then on our way there, God can tell us it's this specific demon and this specific stronghold, and we just get rid of the thing because we're obsessed with the people that need to know Jesus Christ, not with the method of getting there. Not of how spooky we can sound spiritually. We're fighting for people. Jesus died for people, millions. The enemy's plan is he can keep us deceived in so many ways. It's about that how many is going to go to hell and how many is going to go to heaven. And Philippians 3 verse 14, it says, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And this is what Yaku said so beautifully last week, is that when the wife is pregnant, you know, spiritually speaking, when there's something is going to be birthed, and in the spirit God is talking to us about something, then everything changes. We need to eat right. We need to sleep enough. And your life changes. You can't go out and do whatever you wanted to anymore. And that is what God is doing with us. He's talking, starting then, we must just open our ears. He's starting to tell us, you've been called for this. You've been called to set those people free. You've been called to set them free. You've been called to stand in the gap for them. Jesus came and he's back. These are his hands and feet now. And that we will be constantly frustrated in life if we even get deceived with some of the spiritual things that God promises us. If we get deceived about this, and you get churches like that, I've been in a specific church, I will not mention the name, but I've been in that specific church in an overseas country, here, a couple of places, they only preach about prosperity. They're deceived. They are this prosperity, talking financial prosperity. They're deceived. Jesus didn't die for my finances only. He died for people's souls. And so what I'm saying is we can sometimes be so busy with stuff, and it can even be church stuff, and we'll be so frustrated out of our brains because it's not the upward call of Christ. It's not the call of Christ that we're in a war for other people's sake. Amen. And I don't want to make you scared or anything like that. We're in a war. Okay, now can we go back a few scriptures? Then we'll close off. Jeremiah 51. Thank you. Set up a standard on the earth. Set up a standard on the earth. Blow the trumpet among the nations. Prepare the nations for war against her. And this was speaking, I believe, against Babylon. And you can look everywhere in Scripture. Babylon, it repeats itself in Scripture. But Babylon, and not only Babylon, but it speaks about Babylon enslaving God's people, depressing them, suppressing them. And this is speaking, set up a standard on the earth, blow the trumpet among the nations, prepare the nations for war against her, summon against her the kingdoms. Blow the trumpet. And something that Tani Amanda was telling me again, and you must hear this, is that our church has been called, and it's not because I'm here or you here or whatever, but it's been called to make a significant difference in this nation. I don't know how and where we're going to go to. We don't know, but we have to grab hold of that calling that God has given us. And God will take some of the people here, some of you here, that we think, or you think, you're not worthy, and it's definitely not me, and it's you. You might think, I'm too foolish, and that's what Scripture says. God uses those people that think like that. They're the people that are humble enough to say, but Lord, I just want to be used. Sorry, I'll just do what you say. I'll just be obedient. So get excited about it. God's going to use you wherever you are. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not of flesh, but of divine power to destroy strongholds. So what I want you to leave with here today is not being afraid of this whole massive war that Theo is talking about, but it is, get excited about this. Our weapons of warfare are not against flesh, but have divine power. If you have Jesus Christ and he walks with you, you have that commander with you. I heard a story of, I think it was a little kid that walked to school, and the other kids would always bully her. And so she prayed. She said, "Lord, please," I don't know if she prayed this, "but give me an angel to protect me." And the one day she was walking, and all the kids just ran away because they could see a massive angel behind her. How's that? I'll pray that for Ember. But in that same principle applies for us. If we humble ourselves, there are angels that walk with us. I'm not going to go and fight a certain demon that Jesus doesn't tell me to fight. But if I am called to reach this nation, then I walk in that authority with Christ, and the devil must move. And it's time for us to step into that upward call of Christ, to take on that thing, to allow God to speak to you. I just need to share with some people here. And, you know, you have to constantly eliminate the lies of rejection that the enemy plants in your head. He tells you constantly you're not enough. And it even comes from Christians sometimes. You have to remove those things. You have to be obedient to what Christ says. And he says you're not that. You're not that rejected person. But, and I can't promise you that Christians won't hurt you. They will. But start being obedient to what Christ says in your life and reject the rejection. I don't know if it makes sense to anybody here this morning. But you must, and it's a process maybe for some. It's a process where you say, where you get to the place where you can walk in the authority of Christ in your life. Can we stand? And then who's our band player there? Hello. De Vries. Can we stand, please? I'm going to close off. But I want to share what Anki told me after the Afrikaans service. She said, you know, in war, soldiers have these dog tags. You know that stuff, the dog tag. And she said there are some people, what did she say, the dog tag is broken or the tag is gone. And that tag tells you who you are. And I don't know what else it tells you. Maybe some army guys can tell me. But it shows who you are. This is who I am. This is where I come from. And so what I think what Anki was trying to say, trying to tell people here is, some people here it's like you walk without the dog tag. You walk without the stamp of approval on your life. You walk without this identity in your life. And Christ, when you give your life to Christ, he gives you that perfect dog tag. He puts you in the army. He says, you're my son. You can fight. I've approved you. Yes. I know you're worried about all your insecurities and weaknesses, but I have given you the stamp of approval. And many people are standing here this morning, and you can't walk with that authority. There's so many things that tells you don't have an identity. You don't fit anywhere. These people are too spiritual for you. You can't be as spiritual as they are. They're all lies. It's all lies that are trying to keep you away from Christ. Where Christ actually says that I don't have an issue with giving sinners identity. They must just come to me and lay their sin down, and I give them identity because I've created them. Can we bow our heads and close our eyes? I want to ask, it's completely different from this, from the Afrikaans server, but if there are people here now and you feel without identity, let me call it differently. You don't sense the stamp of approval of Christ on your life. You don't sense the stamp of approval of Jesus on your life. If you feel like that, I know in your spirit there's turmoil now. Meaning the flesh wants to say, no, that's not you. But the spirit is telling you, yes. And you know what? Jesus, when he convicts, it goes together with a desire to run to him. So if you have the desire to run away from him, I also want to help you and say that that is from the devil. Whatever God tells you makes you run to him. So if you are here this morning and you don't sense that stamp of approval on your life, And I want you to put up your hand quickly. Just raise your hand and say, I'm like that. Is there anyone like that? Okay, there are lots of people. And don't be ashamed. We go through this stuff every day. And Jesus came to call people that are vulnerable like us. Don't be ashamed of it. Don't be ashamed to put up your hand for God. He's not ashamed of you. Can I ask those people to come forward, please? We're going to pray for you now. Amen. I also want to ask, as we bow our heads just again and wait for God, if you have not given your life to Christ, if you've not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you just sense, I want to make peace with God. I want to just make peace in my spirit so that there's not this constant worrying about my eternity and my life. And there's also people here that you are so worried about so many things. Yes, there's war, but Christ comes and He brings peace in your heart. While the war still goes on the outside, there can be peace in your heart. If there's anybody like that this year, this morning, there's this war in your heart. There's this, just everything except peace in your heart. Just raise your hand if that's you. Okay. Can you also come forward, please? Now I'm going to ask some guys to come and help me pray, but I'll pray a general prayer for everybody here, and then we'll individually pray for you guys. Amen. Just stand a little bit closer. Father, we thank you for this morning. In Jesus' name, mashallah, handa kendo barama soto kelele di biondo soto to mashedele. Khondromo shokotrando yashilelele masona marama sokhata karama. Father, I want to lift up all these men here, especially in Jesus' name, Father, and I pray that you'll put this, your stamp of approval from the Holy Spirit and this lady in Jesus' name, Lord. Just put your stamp of approval on them, Father. And there's so many things that come against, especially the men. And just pray for this man. I know he's married, Lord, that you'll just bless him. In Jesus' name, Father, seën hom. Gee hom daai, net daai krag om sy skouers op te lig in die gees. Net om amper breë bors voor hom te stap, want of baie bors net die lewe in te gaan, nie arrogant nie, maar met daai oortuiging, met daai confidence wat Jesus vir hom gee. Vader, ek dank U vir sy pragtige familie, for his wonderful family that you're going to bless, Lord. And Lord, sometimes he feels that he's maybe not up to the level of some people spiritually speaking, but I want to say that's a lie from the enemy, and expect, you know, start dreaming big, start thinking big, and Jesus is even going to think bigger than that. But don't think so small. Don't think so little of yourself in Jesus' name, Lord. Father, I just pray for the rest of the people here, Lord, that you will establish your identity in their lives. In Jesus' name, Father, we thank you. We thank you that you, in the Spirit, you just do this work now, Father. I just pray for this lady also, Lord, in Jesus' name. You'll bless her, Father. And Here, thank you for your work. Thank you for the work that you're doing. Father, I thank you that you're also going to set her free from certain strongholds in her life, Lord. Those things that draw her back. But God says, don't be afraid of this. Maybe you must even go and talk to somebody about the things. Find the right person, the right Christian. But don't be so afraid to talk about it. Don't be so ashamed about it. Don't hide certain things. Find somebody and go and speak about it. Just whoever you find comfortable with. But God will release you. And Father, I think that release will start already now. The Holy Spirit unlocks that. Father, I thank you for that key that fits that room. The key that there was always, you could never get into some pockets in a life. But this morning, the Holy Spirit is giving a specific key to open a specific room. And it's starting. The healing is starting in Jesus' name, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Will. The other people will still pray with you. Yeah.